Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we were hanging out in the Gospel of Luke last week for Mother's Day. We'll hang out there for Father's Day, and I figured let's take a little break from Romans. And just hang out with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And today in Luke chapter 12, comes within a longer stretch of teaching from Jesus. And in the middle of all that, he says, be alert, be watchful. Be like servants in a house who have to keep their lamps lit all night, which, as you might imagine, was slightly more involved than just not turning the light switch back off. You would put the wick in some oil and make sure the oil is replenished enough all night. Because the master of the house has been away. But he's coming back tonight. You know it's tonight, but it could be early evening, maybe late evening. It could be the middle of the night. It could be pretty close to dawn. When he comes, we were just singing it. These servants in the house, they're not questioning if the master will return. They know he's coming. Their task is not to figure out if he will. Their task is to just stay awake, stay alert, watchfully anticipate. Whether it's here pretty soon or maybe much later. And the parable takes a strange turn because that's what parables do. Parables, you could say parables teach us things, but it might be more accurate to say parables kind of help us to unlearn some things. Parables help us expose our assumptions and call them into question. And assumptions are certainly exposed and challenged when the master of the house begins to serve the servants. What kind of reality is Jesus talking about? That's just not really something that happens, is it? That hierarchies get turned so completely on their heads. But that is the joy, the delight, the happy existence of the servant and servants who stayed awake, who kept watching, who didn't fall asleep, who didn't let the oil in their lamps run out. They begin to experience this joy in the presence of the master of the house that they wouldn't have otherwise. the master of the house, he comes and he knocks. And when he does, it is a happy occasion. He is so thrilled with the servants that were patient and watchful, and he serves them. But then the parable takes another strange twist. The master of the house isn't the only one showing up tonight. So will the thief. And because it is a thief, the thief is not going to come and knock on the door and see who happens to be there to answer it. No. Suddenly in the parable, we're not just answering the door in a kind way, but a thief is sneaking in through the window in some other part of the house. So be ready, Jesus says, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What a lovely, delightful, joyful, unsettling, scary parable this is. Oh, the unpredictability of the one who comes. But it has to be this way. It has to be that God is on some schedule that you and I are not privy to. It has to be this way because it is so much infinitely better than the alternative, which is God stops being God and now he's just a delivery truck driver who shows up at the appointed and expected times. We place the order. We can track it on our phones, right? We know when the package is out for delivery. Jesus says, actually, you don't know. The master of the house might show up early in the evening, in the middle of the night, or closer to sunrise, or maybe that's not what we're talking about at all. Maybe it's just a thief sneaking in through the back whose presence will unsettle you and make you question, how secure are we really? In the circumstances that we find comfortable. It has to be this way. Because we don't want God to just be a delivery truck driver. And even though it oftentimes is not going to feel like it, it is the more happy and blessed existence to be forced into a posture of anticipation. To be forced into constant watchfulness. For when Jesus might decide to sneak into my day, it is the more blessed existence to keep our lamps lit, whether the time, whether the moment is now, to be confronted by God, or whether that moment is still to come, and who knows. I bet we all know that experience of reading scripture, maybe sometimes alone, sometimes alongside someone else. Read And then whether it's a day later or a year later or somewhere in between, you read it again. And at some point, you've read the Gospel of John 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 100 times. You've read Philippians or Romans 10 times, 20, 30 times. You've read Psalm 23, 30, 50, 100 times. And then on the 101st reading, the Spirit of God reaches through the words on the page and grabs your heart in an abrupt way. I think you know what I'm talking about. The words on the page are the same. They've been that way for literally thousands of years, and yet now was the moment for God to say, "Here I am." Now was when God finally, through the written word, finally knocked on the door. Now was when the thief finally snuck in through the back door and made his presence known. It's been a monastic practice for centuries to wake up early in the morning, sometimes as early as 2 o'clock in the morning. And not just for the sake of having a little bit of quiet time before the day starts, even though that is a very good thing in itself. Not just for the sake of making sure the day doesn't get on top of them, even though that's a very good thing in itself. The monastic practice for centuries now is to wake up maybe as early as 2 a.m. and maybe aided or unaided by a cup of coffee to just sit in the presence of God and be available for God to initiate an encounter. And oftentimes, there is no epiphany. Oftentimes, there is no spiritual stimulation, no excitement, no special word from God, but the monastic practice is to keep getting up first thing in the morning and before any work is done, before anything else is attended to make oneself available to God. And then sometimes God shows up. And then there is some kind of epiphany. There is some kind of spiritual elation. One author has said, after that happens, I'll get up 30 minutes early the next day. And it never really works, but for God to come and find us in the middle of our day, the middle of a routine, maybe the middle of the night, maybe right here in the middle of Sunday morning worship. It comes through Scripture. It comes through prayers. This becoming available to the God who wants to make himself known. But it doesn't just happen through Scripture and through prayer. It comes through returning to Scripture and returning to prayer. Once is just not enough. Twice is not enough. Read Psalm 23 100 times. And then another 100 times. Read Luke chapter 12 100 times. And then another 100 times. Read the little incredible book of Philippians 100 times and then another 100 times. And I promise you, on a lot of days, you'll put your Bible down after finishing whatever it is you wanted to read for the 200th time. You'll decide it's time for the formal act of prayer to be over and to attend to a task or work or something. And you will have had no epiphanies. You will have not felt the rush of the Spirit coming upon you. But by returning to Scripture, by returning to prayer again, again and again, what you're saying to God is, God, my lamp is lit, and I'm not going to run out of oil in it. God, whether you want to come early in the evening or make me wait all the way until almost sunrise, or if you just want to sneak in the back door like a thief, here I am. Come, let me experience your joy. Or come and, like the thief, unsettle me. Dislodge me out of my comfort if that's what needs to happen, God. Just like in the parable, it's not a question of if this will happen. It's a question of when. When will God show up? The God who wants to make his presence known. When will God come and share his joy with me? Or when will God, like a thief, challenge me? Make me lose some of my comfort. Either way, the life of alert and watchful anticipation, it is the most blessed, happiest life available to us, church. Because the alternative is a kind of practical atheism. Even if we don't call ourselves that, we find ourselves living out much of our days as if God is not a factor in them at all. And maybe he's a delivery truck driver that will show up when I order something. I know you would rather keep your lamp on. I know you would rather be near the door, ready to answer. In this life of alert, watchful anticipation of the God who wants to make his presence known, it is the most joyful, purposeful, and stress-reducing life available to us, church. So before we close out, here's what I want to do. I want us to pray a bit of the Psalms. Like Jesus says, it's the middle of the night. It's time for quiet. Let's be quiet and still. Going to read just a couple of verses, but I'm going to read them three times. with a little bit of a pause in between. And then we will pray. But like the servants in the house in the parable we've just heard from Jesus, let this be our prayer to the God that Jesus assures us wants to make his presence known. So let me invite you, get into your posture of prayer, whatever that looks like. And as I read these words from the Psalms, don't just hear them, but let them rise up from your heart as you hear them. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Father God, this is our prayer. However long you need us to wait, that you would come to us, fill us with your joy. Please remake us in the image of your Son, Jesus. This is our prayer in his name. Amen. Everybody with me, take a deep breath. This peaceful stillness that we have opened ourselves up to for the last couple minutes, this quiet anticipation of the God who wants to make his presence known. We don't have to sacrifice that in order to go about our day, in order to do the things that are asked of us, whatever responsibilities are placed on us. This quiet and watchful anticipation for the presence of God, it does not have to get lost in the mix. I just read two verses from Psalm 130. Go read those two verses. Return to them if it helps. Let us keep our lamps lit, church. God wants to come and be with us. What a promise that is. I hope we will be as watchful as we can. Even in the busyness of a day, even in all the ways that the world around us wants to distract us, I hope we will be what Jesus is calling us to be, alert, watchful. So again, we've been reading in Romans 6 that what you think of as yourself a lot of the time is not even a thing that exists anymore. The thing I call Mason Puckett, much of the time, is not even a thing that exists anymore. It was crucified with Christ, buried with him in the waters of baptism, and raised up into newness of life. And then he says in another one of his letters, Galatians 2, I've been crucified with him, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Well, that is what we want. If you have not yet been baptized, to surrender yourself to the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Let the old and false self, which is also the distracted self, the asleep self, let that be buried in the water.